We have come to the end of our sermon series, Life is a Roller Coaster. And today I just want to talk about the simple theme, we made it. We made it. Just give somebody a high five around you and tell them, we made it. We made it. We made it. We made it. Why don't you join me for a word of prayer? Dear God, only you would choose someone who's imperfect and stutters as a vessel for your word. And yet I know that we all come approaching you with our imperfections and things in our life we wish that you would remove. But it's in our weakness that you are made strong. It's in our weakness that you speak to us. God, I know that regardless of where we are on the roller coaster, you have a word, a song, a prayer. And God, only you can take one service and speak to the needs of so many people in the room, online, hundreds of thousands of people in the same God. So God, speak to us now. We stand on the hope and the prayer that when your word goes out, it never comes back void. For this is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the people of God say amen. Amen. We made it. Well, the year was 2022, and we were at Universal Studios, and it was a typical hot day in Florida, so we had our sights set on a water ride that we could all enjoy. So we stumbled on the ride, Jurassic Park. Now, I need to preface this by saying that we were with our very young daughter at the time. She was approaching 5, but she is extremely tall for her age, and she met the height requirements. Somebody say, So I looked online, and you can actually do this. You know how I feel about roller coasters. You can look online to see what to expect, and sure enough, Jurassic Park had a sizable drop. You already know how I feel about roller coasters. You already know how I feel about the drops. Now, I wasn't just nervous for myself, but I was scared for our daughter. I mean, the ride was pretty calm for the most part. They had a dinosaur noise here. They had an animated statue there. Nothing a grown man or four-year-old could not handle. But then we started moving slowly toward a cliff. And I knew it was coming. But she had no idea. She's 4. She was having the time of her life and smiling and giggling and laughing. She had no idea what was coming. Sooner or later, we went down and the big drop and the water splashed everywhere. And I didn't know how to tell her at the time. I didn't know how to warn her that she was about to be traumatized. But the reality is that she made it. The reality was that she made it. I tried to console her and give her a high five because she just accomplished something. And this is what she looked like. She wasn't too happy. She was not impressed. She was not amused. In fact, I tried to give her a high five, but she pushed my hand away. She gave me the silent treatment until we got ice cream. I mean, she put it all on me like it was just all my idea. This was a family decision. People, normally we don't think that that's how we're supposed to look when we make it. I mean, she wasn't laughing. She wasn't joking. She was just glad that she made it. But I think that is the reality for many of us, because I think that's how we respond to God even after we've made it through some ups and downs, because making it through the ups and downs of life isn't always so glamorous. And I imagine that's what the men in our text would look like as they try to navigate the ups and downs of their own journey. Now, for some of you, this is a familiar story because this is really part 2 of the sermon we did to start off our series. And if so, you remember that Paul is on a ship with others heading to Rome, and what started off as a simple voyage quickly turned hazardous and life-threatening. Unfortunately, they get caught in what turns out to be one of the worst storms that they have experienced, and the condition of the ship has been compromised. So by the time we get to our text, Paul is urging them that if they are going to make it, they need to eat or provide some kind of nourishment for them to survive. I mean, they've been trying to keep the boat afloat for almost 2 weeks, and they aren't making any headway. In fact, we learn in verse 20, it says that when neither the sun nor the stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. That's what they said on day 3. This is around day 14. And around day 14, they are tired. Around day 14, they are exhausted from trying to keep something afloat that's bound to sink. And it's exhausting trying to make something work that's run its course. I mean, you could feel the anxiety and the tension of the ship. They were anxious. They were scared, so much so that they've lost their appetite because the voyage has gotten the best of them. And their response is indicative to what happens to so many of us. When we get overwhelmed and anxious, we often start neglecting the very things that nourish us. We relinquish the things essential to survival. And you've got to be careful, because neglect is so subtle. One day we look up and realize that we haven't had anything to eat and haven't done anything to nourish ourselves. We haven't been to church in a while, haven't exercised in several days, haven't made time for ourselves, haven't talked to God, haven't prayed to God, haven't made time for hobbies, have not done anything that brings us joy, haven't kept up with our physical appearance, and we neglect what has and could nourish us. So here's the critical question that these men are inviting us to ask is, what have I been neglecting that my mind, my body, or my soul desperately needs? Because the most important thing that you can do for you is to take care of yourself, even when the outcome seems compromised. Paul says that you need to eat if you want to survive. Paul says that you need to have some nourishment if you want to make it. And I get it, because coming from Paul, that's easier said than done. That's why in the middle of the storm, Paul took bread, broke it, blessed it, and gave thanks. What is Paul doing? He's showing them how to eat. He's showing them how to nourish themselves in the middle of a storm. Not just physically, but spiritually. For Paul, gratitude becomes the very thing that he needs to survive when the ship is compromised. I imagine that Paul would be grateful for God that promised that they would make it to Rome. I imagine that for a guy like Paul, he would be grateful for God that brought someone like him to preach the gospel to different cities and different churches. I imagine that for someone like Paul, he was just grateful that God would choose somebody like him, because gratitude is not just reserved for safe shores, but it's relevant even when we can't keep our heads above water. Paul did not wait until he got to the shores to start giving God thanks. The ship is going down. They are anxious, scared. They have no idea what's going to happen. And Paul says, let's take some bread and break it and give thanks for who God is. Because here's the truth for them and for us. Because they're not going to make it. Hear me. They're not going to make it unless they attend to themselves. You missed it that easily. They're not going to make it if they don't attend to themselves. And here is the challenge. Here is the challenge. Attending to the condition of the ship is not the same as attending to what you need to survive. Just because you are feeding others doesn't mean that you are feeding yourself. I mean, we are great. Come on, we are people of God. We sing songs. We come to church. We are great at caring for others. We are great at being there for others. We are great at keeping the ship afloat and keeping the ship going. But when was the last time you ate? When was the last time you nourished yourself? Because God did not call us to be martyrs, because just because the ship is going down doesn't mean that you can't nourish yourself. God did not call us to be martyrs because you can choose the ship over your own health. So what do you need in this season of your life that nourishes you? Because for so many of us, we pride ourselves in keeping the ship afloat while we're the ones who are sinking. That's why Paul knew that they would need to eat because of what would happen next. So by the time they get their bearings, it's too late. The ship crashes into the shore and the boat completely falls apart. Now this must have been hard for them to deal with, because no one gets on a ship thinking that it's going to fall apart. No one gets on a relationship. No one gets on a friendship or fellowship. No one says I do and thinks that this will one day fall apart. No one says yes to their dream job and thinks that one day this isn't going to work out. Nobody joins a church, steps out on faith, answers a call from God, and thinks that they won't make it. But sooner or later, church, we come to the realization that things or experiences that we thought would carry us aren't going to make it. And this is really hard for people of faith, because the unspoken belief and the misguided assumption is that God will fix and resurrect everything. We just think if we just pray hard enough, if we just sing loud enough, if we do all of the things that faith tells us to do, that will be the glue that holds all of it together. But their predicament forces them to deal with the harsh realities that despite their deepest desires and long-awaited dreams, their ship had finally fallen apart. And this vessel that had already been through so many storms is not going to make it through this one. And this is where people of faith get discouraged. Because we make assumptions about our future survival based on what happens to the ship, as if our survival and the survival of the ship, of the relationship of the ship, was intricately tied together. And we don't think that we can make it without the ship. We don't think we can experience joy without the ship. We've convinced ourselves that there isn't any life outside of the ship. So if the ship falls apart, then our life falls apart. But let me tell you the truth, because there will be some things in your life that just won't work out. You didn't say amen on that one. I was wondering, let me check my notes again. Listen. There will be certain things in your life. Hear me, and don't, you know, we got a good relationship. I hope you still love me and like me after this. And I hope this doesn't mess up your theology. But there are some things that's falling apart that God won't fix. I got two. There are certain things that God won't fix in your life. There will be various ships in your life that will run its course. But just because the ship won't make it doesn't mean that you won't. The destruction of the ship doesn't mean an end to your journey or joy. You can survive what the ship could not. In fact, we see it right here in the text. Because just as Paul predicted, they got to the land safe and sound. Now, there were two kinds of swimmers that reached to the land safely. Somebody say two swimmers. The two kinds of swimmers. One group could swim. When the boat was going down, they jumped out and they swam the shore. The other group, why y'all laughing? One group could swim. One group things were falling apart. They said, don't even worry about this. But second group, help us, Lord. The second group didn't take their classes yet. Second group couldn't swim. So they had to make it on broken pieces. They were able to hold on to pieces of the ship and safely make it, not in spite of the ship crashing, but because the ship fell apart. What felt like something was falling apart was actually things coming together in their lives. God was able to salvage a few of the pieces of the ship for those who could not swim. And is this not a picture of God's grace, where the broken pieces are the acts of God's grace that God sends us to keep us afloat even when life is falling apart? We think that God is cursing us, but God is really blessing us, because God knows that there are some places that we can go that we would drown, but God is gracious enough to send some broken pieces of the ship to help us get to where we need to go. But let's be honest, what is sent as an act of grace sometimes doesn't always feel like it in the moment, because it's hard when you started with the ship and you end up with broken pieces. We're left with the remnants of what used to be and what could have been, and it's hard to embrace. It's hard to embrace our survival. It's hard to embrace the reality that we made it, because all we see is what we lost. All we see is a broken and battered ship, and this doesn't feel like we made it. This doesn't feel like a win. It feels like a loss. Because a win, and this is going to be before some of your time, but I'm going to learn you something. A win sounds like the Jeffersons theme song. Before your time, don't act like you know it. The African-American sitcom, it came on around the time where shows like Good Times and 227 came on, and the Jeffersons came on, and it was about an African-American sitcom that aired in the 70s and 80s about a family that had finally made it. And I love the theme song, because it talked about them winning. It talked about this black family winning, and I loved it. I loved hearing the theme song. The song would say, "We're moving on up, don't act like you know it, to the east side, to a deluxe apartment in the sky." So we're moving on up to the east side. We finally got a piece of the pie, because fish don't fry in the kitchen and beans don't burn on the grill. I said it took a whole lot of trying just to get up that hill. I said now we're up in the big leagues, getting our turn at bat. As long as we live, it's you and me, baby. There ain't nothing wrong with that, because we're moving on. Yeah. I told you I was going to learn you something. That's the win. For us, that's what a win ought to look and feel like. But what about what happens when life doesn't move us up to the east side? But what happens when life gives us a broken ship? Sometimes, in order to embrace our survival, we have to redefine what a win looks like in our lives. Because these men have to accept that in order to make it, in order to survive, it's not going to be upward mobility, but because they will not emerge with everything they started with. They have to be okay with broken pieces. And if given the choice, we all want to arrive to safety on undamaged, untattered, and unbroken ships. We all want to be like the Jeffersons. We would love for every aspect of our lives to still be intact. But would you rather be sinking on a ship that's whole or safe on a shore with broken pieces? Would you rather have it all and be sinking, or have joy and make it with whatever you have? In order to survive, you've got to redefine the win. And it's hard in a culture obsessed with thriving and moving up, because here's what a win sometimes looks like. In fact, a few days ago, the men's USA basketball team faced the men's team from South Sudan. It was expected to be a blowout. The USA men's team were expected to win by 40 points. Somebody say 40 points. by 40 points. The USA team was packed with superstars like LeBron James and Steph Curry and some of the best players from around the world, right? But the team from South Sudan had two lesser-known NBA players on their team. The rest of them, nobody knew about. But this team was actually making their Olympic debut. They were making their Olympic debut this year, and their country had just gained independence in 2011. Everything was stacked against them. The odds were not in their favor. And yet, at one point in the game, the team from South Sudan was up by 16 points. You almost missed it. I said the USA team was supposed to win by 40 points. And at one point, the team in South Sudan, they were up by 16 points. It wasn't until the last couple seconds of the game where LeBron James, the second best player who ever played the game of basketball before, It wasn't until the last few seconds, 6'8", 250 pounds, went to the lane, made the layup, game over. But there was so much national pride from the team from South Sudan because they were supposed to lose by 40 points and they made it into a great game. Now we must ask a question, did they really lose? According to the final score, they did. But every win isn't always shown on the scoreboard. Some wins you've got to redefine. Because sometimes the win feels like a loss, and sometimes the loss feels like the win. I mean, think about it. To know that these men made it sailing through a storm, to know that they made it even when they couldn't see the sun or the stars for days, to know that they made it even when they didn't eat for days, to know that they made it even when the ship fell apart, to know that they made it even when one of the guards wanted to kill the prisoners, to know that they made it even when they had to cut the ropes to the lifeboat, to know that some of the men made it, couldn't even swim, to know that some of them made it on broken pieces. Now, the ship may have fallen apart and the scoreboard may have said that they lost, but to me, to know that they made it despite the odds, that is a win in my book, because there are some seasons of your life when you will have to redefine the win, because sometimes the win is that you had enough strength to get out of bed and put one foot in front of the other. That's the win. That's the win. Sometimes the win is that you showed up. You don't show up with an idea. You didn't show up with an opinion. You showed up late, but you showed up. Sometimes the win is that you didn't give up. Sometimes the win is that you can still smile, laugh, and have a semblance of joy in your life. Sometimes the win is that you finished. It doesn't matter if you finished first or last, you finished. It didn't matter if you got gold, silver, bronze, or the worst score, is that you finished. Sometimes it didn't matter if you were the last one that walked across the stage, but the gold and the scoreboard says that you lost. But you know that because of all the hell that you went through, you know that because all of the odds were stacked against you, that you knew the storms that you had to go through, you knew the trials that you had to go through, you knew the sleepless nights and the tears, you know all that it took that it get you to where you are today. The scoreboard doesn't show it, and people might be looking at you thinking that you are standing on the shores with a broken ship, but you know that you can give God praise. Because you win it. You got broken pieces. But I'm winning. I didn't start off. I started off with everything. Now I got a remnant. But you winning. Life doesn't look the same anymore. But you winning. For some people, it looks like downsizing. But for you, that's winning. You don't have as much stuff as you used to have. But if I redefine, what a win looks like. The scoreboard may not show it, but I know that God's hand has been on us, because you are here today because you made it. Through the ups and downs of life, you made it. Whether you made it on the roller coaster with your hands up or you were just holding on for dear life, you made it. Whether you loved it or despised it, whether you thought that you were being blessed and cursed through the ups and downs of life, you are here today because you made it. You're here today because all that you've gone through, whether you arrived on a cruise ship of broken pieces, you're here today because you made it. Let me pray with you. God, it's often easier said than done. I think it's hard to sometimes know that we've made it, because we're looking around and all we see are broken pieces. All we see are the fragments of our lives that reminds us of what used to be. And that's hard for people of faith. That's hard for us. That's hard to really embrace that you are still active in our lives. It's hard to still embrace that you are still moving in our lives, God. So we just pray for somebody here that feels like that life is not the same as it used to be. That things are different, that life is different. But I just pray that you would just whisper in their ear right now that even in the midst of things falling apart, they made it. Maybe it's not for this season, but maybe it's for another season years down the road. For the storm that's on the way. So we thank you for a God that has promised to be with us on the roller coaster at every step of the way. So God, for this we praise you and we love you. In your name we pray. Amen.